Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon Tenwall. I'm Jim Galante. Landon, how are we doing this week?
Doing well, Jim. Doing well.
Great to hear that, Landon. And just remember, our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda State College. This is the place where I got my great Honda CRV, had the great buying experience there, great pricing. And guess what? They have some great low interest rates on the 2024 Ridgeline, the Accord Hybrid, and even on Honda certified used cars. They actually have interest rates as low as 0.99%. That's less than 1%. You heard me correctly. If you want to check them out, their showroom is on West College Avenue in State College, or go to Bobby Rahal Honda of StateCollege.com online, and you can check out their great inventory there. Landon, it's a big sports week just because we have the Olympics going on.
I know, Jim. I honestly haven't watched any, really, for the most part. I'm trying to think. I might have turned into a basketball game to check it out on, I think it was yesterday. But I haven't really been watching much of it. I don't know how the USA is performing.
I don't really either. Well, you know what, Landon? I forgot one thing, okay? This is my mistake today, forgetting it. I know we made this correction on our show for the Keystone Kickoff show. A week ago, your stat of the week, we blew it.
We blew it.
I don't want to bury that. I think we've got to apologize to our listeners again.
We do. I was counting on Jim. No, I'm just kidding. Jim is the older guy. Hey, you know, he was around for Bush Senior. But so yeah, the stat was wrong. I said that we have either had a Bush, a Clinton, or a Biden on a ticket back to 1988, I believe I said. Well, I was wrong. It was 1980 because Bush Sr. was on the original Ronald Reagan ticket. So even further back, we made the point. You know, the point still stands. We messed it up a little bit. It's all right. You know, bad journalism over here on my part. I got to take that one on the chin.
But we own up to our mistakes, Landon. That's the difference. We didn't bury it. We're doing it up. That's why, you know, I started up on the Olympics, but I had forgotten about this correction. I wanted to make sure people didn't accuse us of burying it. We apologize. We made the mistake. It's back to 1980 for those three political families. All right. Let's get back. You mentioned, I'm curious, because obviously you and I come from different generations, and I'm curious about how into the Olympics you are, if at all. Now, I know my interest has waned. I remember years ago when I was a kid, and even going into when I was your age in my 20s and 30s, it was a big deal, and I was really glued to it. I've got to be honest. I don't really care all that much. Do you?
No, I don't know. I get the same vibe, Jim, and I feel like even back, if you think back like 2008, especially, remember we called them the 2008 Redeem Team because it was after 04. I don't know what we came in. We didn't get gold in 04 in basketball. And then it was 2008, and it was kind of supposed to be that dream team again where they had everybody. They had a young LeBron, young Melo, Kobe, Shaq, all those guys. And I remember tuning into those as a young kid and loving watching all that stuff. But it got to the point now, I don't know why. It seems, and I feel like that's across the board. There's a lot of interest lost in the Olympics, and I'd be interested to see the numbers because a lot of people I've talked to, you know, the most I see is I'm scrolling on social media and I see maybe a clip come across my screen of, you know, someone doing it. Sometimes I like watching the stunts, Jim, where they're on like the balance beam. And because I swear I've tried that before. I mean, it's a joke how hard it is. I mean, truly, I'd love to see Jim actually try to go on the balance beam and see if he can walk across, maybe do like a front flip on it. That, Jim, that'd be pretty fun. I don't know. We'll have to ask we can go in there at Penn State.
Well, we actually, when I was in high school in our gym class, they actually had us do some gymnastics stuff. Okay. And I didn't like it at all. Not at all. But the only thing I liked doing was we would take the springboard move it onto the basketball court so that we could dunk. We'd go off the springboard and dunk. So when you're 5.5 foot tall, that ability is important. And you brought what I'm disappointed in, it feels like in the last couple Olympics, I will be in a situation, I'm not doing anything. I said, let me just turn on the TV, see what's on. And it seems like I always catch them in the middle of one of their human interest stories. And on Sunday, I turn it on. I actually had a little bit of time Sunday afternoon. I turn it on. They have Steven Spielberg doing a multiple minute thing telling us that there will be lots of stories at the Olympics. Yeah, I know. How about showing me the story instead of telling me there's going to be stories? But I didn't. I want to get your take on this, Landon. I watched a couple minutes of the opening ceremony, okay? And when I say couple minutes, I'm being literal. Couple minutes, I was bored to tears. It was this horse galloping along the river, and that was it. It took me 2 minutes to be bored to tears and move on. Now, I've read, though, that their ratings were actually very good for the opening ceremony. Did you watch any of the opening, and what did you think?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I was at the gym. I was at the YMCA. That's where I go and work out at a lot. And, you know, there's TVs that are showing all the sports stuff. And I was there hitting my bicep curls. And I actually saw there was a group of people, probably like 8 people, that kind of went up to the TV. They were like standing in front of it. And I, you know, I'm like, what's everybody doing? I see that they're watching the TV. But it's funny you said that. They watched the TV for about 30, 40 seconds max. And then everybody just kind of turned away and went back to their workout. I was peeking up at it a little bit. It didn't get my interest personally. I was kind of not really in favor of it, but hey, you know, they put it on. They did a good job. I just feel like it doesn't have the same like lust. Like, I remember, was it in China where they had that insane intro? I think that was 08, wasn't it? Where they had, I mean, it was a crazy performance that they had opening up. It was like all synchronized. It was like 100 people synchronized doing so. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I believe that was when they were in Beijing, and it was awesome. I didn't think it was that good.
Did you remember the London Olympics where they did the thing with James Bond and the Queen parachuting in? Was great.
That's how you get eyeballs on. That's how you attract viewership.
Yes, and they also did. I forget who the actor, what his name really is, but he plays this character like Mr. Bean. He doesn't speak. I'll have to send you the link to it. It was actually hilarious. Right. He's a British comedian. But getting back to the Paris Olympics, the opening ceremony, they did it along the river as opposed to in a stadium. And of course, worst case scenario, it poured down rain apparently for much of it. But apparently the rain doesn't just affect that opening ceremony, because one of their big concerns is the River Seine is right there through Paris, and they would use it for a couple of the events. The only problem with it, Landon, is they have not allowed public swimming in the river for over a century because of how polluted it is, okay? But they apparently spent like $1.5 billion to clean it up, which was basically creating this tank that would collect like 12 million gallons of wastewater. So it wouldn't go into the river. Well, apparently that didn't work so well, because there's millions of gallons of sewage that have gone into the river. So now they're concerned the triathlon, the swimming portion of it, they were going to use the river. Now, they may have to cancel that portion of the triathlon.
I don't even know why they originally planned to do that. And I don't know if you saw, but someone swam in the river. What was it? Was it like
they had like multiple public officials, the mayor of Paris and several other public officials. See, we're going to show you how safe it is.
They didn't look happy at all. They put on this like whole suit that like the skin tight, like protect your skin. I'm like, I think that defeats the purpose. If you're trying to show that you're just able to swim in it, you just get in a swimsuit. So I think that was poor planning on their part. But my favorite thing about this that I didn't even realize, because, you know, obviously they do surfing. The surfing is held, I mean, what is that, like 12 hours away by plane? I mean, it's not even close.
Like 3,000 miles away in Tahiti.
So I thought that was a pretty cool fact. But overall, Jim, my consensus on the Olympics, it's not piquing my interest, man. The intro didn't get me. That's the hook. And then, you know, we're doing all right. I'll probably tune in maybe for the USA men's gold medal game. But that outside of that, you know, I don't know if you're going to get much out of me.
I would be more interested if when we turn it on, you gave the example of the gymnast. I did turn it on at one point, and there was some of the male gymnasts. And on the rings where what's called the Iron Cross, and but he's doing it upside down. And you just see how – remember how you said about the effort that the football players put in versus other sports?
Mm.
How much work do you think these gymnasts put in, both male and female?
Oh, I think – I would specifically say gymnasts put in more work maybe than football players. I would say also you have to be – you know, football players, most guys can go home and eat junk food, do whatever you want. Like, you can just go do whatever you want afterwards. Like, I feel like to be in that peak form where you're able to move your body like that, you can't slack off on your diet, on not working out this day or that day. If you're a football player, you can take off a day or two from working out. You know, nothing's really going to be noticeable. But I feel like you start to slack off with your body and your nutrition in that scenario. I don't know, Jim. I think they have to be a little bit even more dedicated than football players. So they're up there for sure.
And like I said, both the men and the women are absolutely incredible. But just talking about being in peak condition for these athletes, the last note that I have is the Olympic community where the people, the Olympic Village where the athletes stay, they are literally on cardboard beds, okay? The beds are made of cardboard. They have no air conditioning, and the meals, they said the meals that they provide, 60% of them are vegan meals. So there's so little meat and dairy. The first day that the athletes were there, they ran out of meat and dairy products because so many of them went there. They have no thought that, you know, these are, you know, high-level athletes. They might want the protein and meat and dairy.
Here's my question for you, Jim. You think LeBron James eating any of that?
No. And more of the athletes apparently are moving out of the village. All right, that's it for quarter number one. We got lots more to talk about when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We are taking on, well, everything in the world. We started our show with the quarter talking about the Olympics, Landon. Let's move on. I think you and I have already had our fill of Olympic talk. Some interesting tidbits going on, some interesting things. You brought this up. This was really fascinating. A high school football player by the name of Antonio Coleman. He's a four-star defensive lineman. And, well, he's made more than one commitment, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has, Jim. So this dude has committed four times. He originally committed to Alabama, and then he decided, hey, you know, I want to stay in the state, but I'm going to go over to Auburn. So he decommits from Alabama and then commits to Auburn. Well, then he decommits from Auburn, recommits to Alabama again. So now, you know, hey, I'm done. I'm at Alabama. Oh, guess what, Jim? Decommits from Alabama again. Recommits to Auburn finally Maybe not. Who knows at this point? Signing day is still like 4 months away. He might flip again. But yes, he started Alabama, flipped to Auburn, flipped back to Alabama, flipped back to Auburn. I kid you not, that is a real story. I mean, I don't even know if that's possible, Jim.
How in the world does that happen, Landon? He has literally made two commitments to two different teams.
Hey, I got the answer for you. NIL, Jim. I mean, this is what I'm talking about with leveraging. I mean, there had to have been some leveraging against each other here. I don't know how either team didn't pick up on that the last time, but I will tell you, you know, it'll go away eventually if he's a cool dude. But like when you do that type of stuff and you get there, like guys see this. Like if you're an Alabama player, or Auburn player, you see this because it'll come across your feed. Trust me, most of the guys they see this type of stuff, and guys will not like you. They'll make fun of you when you first get there. Like doing dumb stuff like that it's just a quick way to kind of as a freshman get you just not in good at all. It's just doing this type of stuff. Dudes are like, well, why? You know, why are you doing that? That's just attention. That's ridiculous. So I am obviously not a fan of this one, Jim, but I'm sure when he originally came, I would like to know that number that he committed to Alabama at the first time, and then what did he end up with Auburn with his fourth and possibly final commitment?
Maybe final. Well, that's part of the question. You talk about how his teammates will react to him, and I think that's kind of question. And I think it was James Franklin alluded to this in one of his interviews about having players that will fit in, be part of the culture, that type of thing. And again, I will say that at Penn State, as fans don't like NIL. And it's not so much, I don't think they have an issue as a rule with the players making money. I think they don't like what NIL has done to the game like this. Now, does this player have any allegiance to Auburn or Alabama? He's already rejected, you know, both of them at one point for, you know, apparently a couple more dollars. And I do get it, like, and I always want to compare it to those of us who work in the working world. You make your salary at the one job site, and then somebody comes and recruits you and says, hey, come work for us and you'll make a lot more money. No one ever has a problem with that. So I don't really have a problem with the player leaving a team necessarily, but doing this four times, Landon, at what point do these coaches say, you know what? He's just not worth it. He's not worth that much work, that much effort. And it feels like there's a lack of character there. Is that what I want in my locker room?
Well, that's what I was going to say. If Nick Saban's at Alabama, I don't know if he's taking that recommitment for them. But for me, Auburn's worse. I mean, I guess, you know, it's one thing to be committed somewhere, decommit, commit somewhere else and decommit and then come back. I mean, you know, we kind of had that Micah was committed, then decommitted, obviously didn't go anywhere else. I don't think that was the worst thing. But I think more shame on Auburn for taking him that fourth time, Jim. I mean, because at that point, you know, you're just asking to get burnt again. It's like, all right, well, I've been burnt again. Let me put my hand back on the stove. Ah, you know, again, dang. It's still hot. Wasn't expecting that one. So needless to say, I would not be surprised if this, you know, it could end up at LSU or somewhere else that maybe even wants to offer more money. But I don't know. I wouldn't offer him any money. This seems like the type of guy that would probably be in the transfer portal within the year if it doesn't go right.
Yes, that's what I mean about character. And at what point do you you need talent? There's no doubt. And this is probably, like I said, he's a four-star, probably a very talented guy. But at what point do you say, gee, you're just not worth it? And again, to use the analogy in the working world, there are some very talented people, but they just create such heartache at the workplace that reaches a point where you just say, you know what? You are not worth the effort anymore. That's what I wonder if that time will ever come here. And by the way, if somebody else comes up and offers him more money, you get the feeling he's gone again.
Yeah, I would assume so. Indication due to his actions for sure. So Well, will be fun to continue to watch. I think, and honestly, Jim, with NIL and transfer portal, I think we're going to see more and more of insane stuff like this happen. It's just, you know, it's just crazy to think back in the day, this type of stuff didn't happen. And, you know, you couldn't even leave your school and you were out for a whole year. You had to sit on the bench, and we are in an entirely different world, my friend.
Oh boy, I can't wait for it. But Landon, as long as we're talking about character and college football, you and I, we've been in doing this show for now, what, 2 months or so? There's certain stories that we just can't let go, okay? It comes up, and then it comes up again and again and again. We've been talking about Georgia and what's going on there. How many was it driving incidences that they've had since January of 23? Over 20, was it?
I don't want to be misquoted. It was either like 22, 23. It was right around there. So the math we did, I think it was more than one. They were averaging more than one per month. I think it was like 1.3, 1.4 driving offenses per month for the Georgia football team.
Which is absolutely crazy. And I put that now on Kirby Smart for not putting an end to it. Good news, bad news, Landon. The good news is another incident with a player, but it's not a driving incident.
Wow, that's great. I mean, I'm sure they're thrilled over there in Georgia. Yeah, so you want me to take it, Jim?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let me take this. So Georgia wide receiver Ra-Ra Thomas, this was tweeted on July 26th. Ra-Ra Thomas was arrested on 2 counts of battery and 1 count of cruelty to children. He was also arrested, which I don't remember hearing about this, but he was also arrested last year for a misdemeanor count of family violence and a felony count of false imprisonment. I mean, my question is, Jim, first off, let's put this to the side. Why was he still on the team after a count of family violence and felony account of false imprisonment? I mean, I didn't even really hear about that. And we're talking a felony, you know, that's kind of crazy to begin with. But I mean, as much as, you know, we make fun of all this, I do think this is probably a step worse. I don't want to say DUIs aren't worse because that can take someone's life. But I mean, we're talking cruelty to children. That's pretty significant when you are, you know, football is supposed to be kind of a family thing. You need to have, put out some type of image of yourself. This does not go with that. You do not, you know, it sounds like Ra-Ra Thomas probably isn't going to have a meet and greet where they're inviting families or anything like that anytime soon. I'm just joking, but it really is. It's sad. And that's a culture problem. Like, this is a culture problem at Georgia where there is clearly no repercussions. And I would go as far, you know, obviously I don't know this, but I would go as far to say not only not repercussions, but it's almost like guys feel like they're being rewarded for bad behavior because nothing happens. And then, hey, I still get my, you know, whatever, $750,000 that I can't be touched, et cetera. So I feel, you know, obviously, like I said, I don't know that, but that's kind of the vibe I'm getting when, you know, Kirby Smart is kind of just allowing all of this to happen. And if there was an example that was already set, I think that would be, you know, obviously we don't know the punishes that have been handed out, but clearly no one's too worried about it, Jim.
Well, the thing is, Landon, when you have a roster of over 100 young men, you know, aged 18 to 23 or so, incidents can happen. But I think it's one of those where, just like a parent, if they tolerate their children misbehaving, you enable that behavior. With Georgia, the example we made, it wasn't to say, oh, they had a DUI or when a bad incident happened. The issue is that has happened 20 some times in a year and a half. Here you have a situation where last year something arrested for something that's described as family violence and false imprisonment. Then this year you have something that's called cruelty to children. Again, you let it pass a year ago, apparently without great repercussions. What you do then is you invite it to happen again, Landon.
Like I said, I think it's a coaching problem at its core. But when you have a culture in the locker room where guys are, you know, doing that type of stuff, and I'm sure the guys, you know, everybody's getting their fast cars in the locker room. Oh, I'm going to race you. I'm going to race him. And if there's not someone in the locker room that's saying, knock that stuff off, we're not, you know, we're not doing any of that dumb stuff. You know, you guys, you know, someone older that's respected, and you just have a culture that enables it. Well, this type of stuff happens. And then on top of that, you have a coach that isn't, you know, truly punishing anybody, it seems like. Hey, it's bound to happen. So I don't really think we can blame. I mean, at the end of the day, Kirby Smart's paid all that money. He has to kind of take the rap for it. He is responsible. That's the reason he's paid so well. He's responsible for 100 young men, like you said. He's going to have to figure this out soon, Jim, because this is starting to kind of, you know, we laugh about it, but it really is sad that it's this much of a problem.
At the end of the day, when you have it happen this often, the coach has to own it, okay? And I'm not saying that incidents don't happen at Penn State. We have seen them, but they've been isolated. And I want James Franklin to win more games. Every fan wants their team to win more games. But I will give credit to James Franklin, and I think it's really due, that he does seem to keep this kind of behavior under control. You don't see 20-some driving incidents in the last year and a half. You don't see this kind of violent behavior repeated over and over again. And I hope it stays that way. And when the inevitable incident comes up at Penn State, that James Franklin will deal with it in a much more strict way than obviously Kirby Smart has. All right, Landon, that's it for quarter number two. When we come back, Landon's stat of the week.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. This is the place for those great Honda deals. It's where I got my Honda CRV. It's where I know Landon's going to get that Ridgeline truck eventually. Landon, they have some great deals on it right now, with interest rates as low as 1.9% on that 2024 beautiful Ridgeline truck. They also have great deals on the Accord Hybrid, and also on Honda certified used cars. Some great deals there. Great inventory, great selection. Most of all, great guys to work with. We stop by there quite often. Super people with Matt over there, the manager, and all of his wonderful guys. And you can experience the Bobby Rahal experience. West College Avenue is where their showroom is, in State College, or online, go to Bobby Rahal Honda of StateCollege.com. All right, Landon, do you know what time it is?
Time is it, Jim?
It's time for Landon's Stat of the Week.
I love it. All right. So this one is a little, this one's an interesting stat. This isn't like a flat out stat, but this is, and I think this will spark some good conversation. Shout out to Big Ten and Beyond on Twitter. So in 2024, this upcoming season, Drew Aller only needs an increase of 800 passing yards, 8 touchdowns, and a bump of 10% to his completion rate. That if he does those three things, he would be right at the average of what the last three Heisman winners have done. So I know that's saying a lot. I'm not saying that's, you know, a little amount, but are those three things doable? And then if, you know, we're talking about, he just needs to, you know, 8 touchdowns is a lot. I will concede that. 800 passing yards, I think, is doable for him. If he had a couple games where he was, you know, below 200 passing yards. I don't see, you know, especially if this offense goes the way they wanted to with Kotoniki and really emphasizes those explosive plays. And just so, I actually talked about this on one of my shows, but Coach Franklin is always saying explosive plays. I just want to clarify what he means. An explosive play is a 15-yard pass play or a 10-yard run play or more for either. So that is what an explosive play is. So I do see more of those coming for Drew Aller. I think his wide receivers are going to help him out a little bit more. But, you know, I know that's a big if, 800 yards, 8 touchdowns, and a 10% completion rate bump. But to say he's not that far away from the last three Heisman winners, Jim, I mean, does that mean that, you know, he's as bad as some people say he is? I feel like that's pretty decent. And I think he's, you know, we kind of are including interceptions in there. He took care of the ball. We had a couple turnovers. You know, I think a decent amount of this is doable to get those numbers up.
I think that's a good point that he's not that far away. And if you look at numbers, and I don't think fans don't. I think they look at wins and losses and will judge a quarterback that way. And the unfortunate thing was the big games, if you would take the numbers in the games that they lost, and I'll throw out the bowl game, even though it would support the discussion. Ole Miss was not a good performance. But Michigan and Ohio State, his performance wasn't even really competitive. And I'm not sure how much of that we can lay on him. But when you look at the other numbers, and we're going to get into this more because of another, I'm going to have another statistic for you. But in looking at Drew Aller's numbers last year, he did complete 60% of his passes, threw for over 2,600 yards. And you alluded to it, his touchdowns to interceptions was an incredible 25-2. Okay, only two interceptions all year. But as far as getting more yardage, I think that could happen very easily because he did not throw many passes downfield. And you could say there are quarterbacks where that's the situation where they don't have the arm to throw it downfield. Drew Aller has the arm to throw it downfield.
He does. And, you know, I think that, you know, coming into this year, he definitely does have the possibility of just, like you said, just having more yards in those games. There was some games, the Michigan and Ohio State game, where he did struggle, but I also don't think he was put in the best circumstance. At Ohio State, Jim, I'd say his first really big game as a starter. That was his first one. And they make him throw the ball 42 times. That's pretty difficult to come into a hostile environment against pretty much one of the best teams in football and throw the ball 42 times. Where I can't rely on my run game. All the pressure is put on me. It's my first time in Columbus. Now, you know, he's the starting quarterback of Penn State. That does come with that. I'm not making that excuse for him that he should crumble or anything like that. But it's difficult. That is not easy to do. And just, I said he passed the ball 42 times in that game. No other game in his career has he even passed the ball for 40 times. So I just think in the Ohio State game, he was really, really put at a disadvantage. And then Michigan, I think, is a little more nuanced. But I will tell you, there was definitely some struggles between the quarterbacks and wide receivers being on the same page, being in the correct spots at the right time. If you remember that 4th and 5, where we went for it on 4th and 5 on our own, like 30, 35 yard line, Drew threw it over to the middle. People were like, where the heck was he throwing that? It was 4th down, give someone a chance. Well, that doesn't just happen. You know, someone was not in the correct spot, you know, where they were supposed to be. So I do see that argument a lot on Twitter. It's, you know, hey, forget the 26-2 as far as TD to interception ratio. He's not showing up in the big games. That's true. I don't disagree with that, but I think there is a lot of other extenuating, you know, factors as the reason why he's not doing as well in those big games, Jim. But I thought this was a fun stat. I just figured this would spark a good conversation for today. Not, you know, do I think he's going to make an increase in, you know, all of those with 800 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, 10% completion rate? Probably not, but I do think if he, like you mentioned, he might have a couple more turnovers, Jim, and I'm okay with that if he really starts slinging it down the field. That's what I would like to see from Drew Aller. Take a couple more risks, and yeah, you, like I said, you might have a couple more turnovers, a couple more picks, but I think the upside of him starting to take some more risks is way, way bigger for him and better for this Penn State football offense.
I want to throw something at you related to this, Landon, is how much of this onus can we put on Mike Yurcich, the offensive coordinator? And now this is, I want you as an insider to answer this, but I want to give my theory first. I think James Franklin is typically very loyal to his coaching staff. He doesn't fire guys in the middle of the season. That doesn't happen. This seemed like, until Mike Yurcich, he let him go middle of the season. He was unhappy with him, very unhappy with him. So when we look at the underperformance of the offense this past year, how much of that can we lay on an offensive coordinator?
Yeah. I mean, you know, similar how we were talking about, you know, Kirby Smart is responsible for his team. Well, you start to look at an offense, the guy who's responsible for that offense is the offensive coordinator. So I definitely think that everybody can agree that Drew was not put in the best positions as far as not only not having, you know, the right guys to go out there and really help him succeed, but also just not being, you know, put in a good position from a standpoint of the play calling and, you know, letting him stretch the field, letting him really throw down there and open everything up. Now, he does have a run game that was pretty good last year. It has been improving every single year, and he had really good protection. And we've talked about this before. We lost Hunter Norzad, but more importantly, I think, because we got Nick Dawkins stepping in there, not, you know, that too, not that worried. It's another guy, another veteran coming in, a little bit more worried about both those tackle spots where it is young guys that haven't really started a game are going to be playing at both tackle spots. So I think the run game is going to struggle a little bit more, which then, like we talked about with Ohio State, they had to sling the ball. More pressure goes on Drew. Now, I do think he's more equipped to handle that because he's going into his second year of starting. So there is that piece. He should be more comfortable. He should be more confident, be, you know, much more of a leader to the guys. But, you know, I just need him to take that next step these first couple games, Jim. And I think if he can get started early in the season, that swagger and that confidence will continue to flow, especially with this new offense. But, you know, I think last year he was just put in a lot of bad circumstances from the offensive coordinator. So, you know, I do think that was definitely part of the problem. And then when you saw Sider and Howell take over towards the end of the season, you saw some newer things. We got Nick Singleton out in space. I mean, now he had an explosive in the Michigan State game, but he was out basically, you know, at the wide receiver position catching a ball. Now that's kind of what I mean with Kodo Nicky. He's going to get his playmakers the ball in space. I think that's the most important thing. Franklin said that. Kodo Nicky has said that himself. It's about getting our best playmakers the ball. And I think he's going to do that really well and help Drew Aller out as a whole.
And he's going to have to do that in the big games. And I want to use this as a segue into something else that I saw and I on social media, and it's an opinion thing. Somebody, they posted their 80 top quarterbacks since the year 2000. Okay, 80 quarterbacks, 80 of them, Landon. Where do you think the top Penn State quarterback was on that list?
I don't know. I don't think there is one, Jim. I'm going to be honest. I can't be too much of a homer.
That is exactly it. So this is a span of 25 years, a quarter of a century, Landon, and Penn State, a top 10 program, cannot even get one quarterback into the top 80. Now, you know, my question was, boy, shouldn't there be somewhere along that line somebody who belonged in this list? And I agree with you. I'm a Penn State homer. I can't find someone that should belong on the list. I'm going to go through the list of quarterbacks who were at least relevant over the last 25 years at Penn State. And I did their stats the way I copied them over like I did for Drew Aller. But Rashard Casey, Zach Mills, Michael Robinson, Anthony Morelli, Darryl Clark, Matt McCloyne, Christian Hackenberg, Trace McSorley, Sean Clifford, Drew Aller. I can't justify any one of them. There's some good ones. I think the closest I would probably say is Trace McSorley.
Yeah.
He accomplished, and his numbers are pretty good too.
Yeah, like 2017 Trace McSorley I think would be the closest, but I don't think it can touch anybody on that list. There were some insane numbers put up. And I'd say, you know, Penn State as a quarterback, you don't really have those big time numbers. I mean, I just gave that Drew Aller stat, which I thought, you know, it was definitely interesting. But I mean, I don't think that's really what you're meant to be. I don't think quarterbacks, you know, come to Penn State and say, I'm going to sling it for, you know, 4,000 yards. That's just not, you know, what we do here. It's very, very balanced, almost 50-50 between the run game and the pass. So I think it's more about being a manager, which I think Trace was amazing as. He could manage the game. He could create a big play when needed and really stretch the field. But I'm excited about that. And then, you know, one guy, obviously we're talking a lot about Drew, but I'm also excited to see how we use Bo Prabula. I know we were talking about the top 50 guys that kind of got back into the offense, but I just want to, you know, we're talking, you know, explosive plays and stuff like that. I'm really excited to see how Bo can end up. And honestly, he just popped into my mind because we were talking about Trace McSorley And there's a big comparison there between Bo and Trace. So hopefully he can provide that spark like Trace.
Okay, Landon, I'm not done with this conversation. I've got a question for you on it when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four. And Landon, when we finished up in quarter number three, we were talking about this highlight that came out, 80 top quarterbacks in college football since the year 2000. And unbelievably, there's no Penn State quarterback there. Now, if you look at the list, then you look at the Penn State quarterbacks, you compare statistics, it's pretty much justified. And I think the closest is Trace McSorley. There are some other quarterbacks who had some nice seasons. But in going through this list, it brought something up that I've heard somebody else talk about, which is this. Penn State, and specifically with James Franklin, he seems to do better with a quarterback who's capable of running the ball. Okay. Or at least moving in the pocket, like Trace McSorley. You brought him up as being able to fling it downfield. But what Trace, I felt, did as well or better than anything else was move it in the pocket, still keep his head up. Even if he's able to run, he's able to keep his head up and make a play. So, you know, on a third down, he finds a way to make that conversion. And it seems like in going through this history, the couple names of the guys who they were pocket quarterbacks, a lot of expectations. I'm sure you don't remember Anthony Morelli when he came in and Christian Hackenberg and now Drew out. These were these big, tall, well-built, big arm quarterbacks. It never seemed to have worked out as well as those guys who are a threat to run the ball. My question is, do you think Penn State in recruiting should be saying to themselves, you know what? Let me go get the best guy who's a dual threat, as opposed to trying to get, and this is not me lobbying for Bo Prabula to start ahead of Drew Aller. It's not. But should there be a kind of a shift in recruiting strategy?
I think there could be. I mean, you know, and we've talked about this on previous shows, Ohio State. Every single time, you know, it's third and five, third and six, you have to remember that at Ohio State, outside of, I'd say, before Kyle McCord, not really Kyle McCord, but every quarterback before that, it was, hey, we need to be aware this guy can take off at any second. You know, I do think Drew Aller actually can. He's run the ball actually pretty efficiently overall. I mean, you remember the touchdown run against Ohio State, or excuse me, I think that might have been Michigan, but he's had some success in the running game. He's obviously not fast. But sometimes Drew Aller puts that shoulder down. He's 6'5". It is not easy to tackle a big guy like that. But, you know, Ohio State always has had that guy where they can go grab those extra yards. To have that extra threat, I think it really would be nice. And especially where I was talking about, you know, Penn State isn't the type of team that needs a pure pocket passer that's going to sit back there and deal it 45 times a game, because that's not what we do. I'd say you probably average closer to 25 passes a game as a Penn State quarterback, because we rely on running the ball, especially when you have Catron Allen and Nick Singleton and a good offensive line. But I'm excited to see what Bo Prabula can do. I think he's going to provide – it felt like every time he came in, Jim, he provided a spark last year, whether that was Michigan State, whether that was early on. He was chugging along for 10, 15 yards, come in and just really get the offense hyped. And I was actually watching Ole Miss again, and he came in. First play was kind of a read option. He pulled it, got about 11 yards, next play was the touchdown pass that I believe it was to I think it was a Nick Singleton. It was like a wheel out of the backfield, and it's like, you know, just explosive, just brings that dynamic. It brings, and that's why we were talking about Trace McSorley earlier. I was like, you know, this guy just reminds me of him. Just looking at him, you know, it's not just the number or anything like that, Jim, but it's just the style of play of how dynamic he is. Gets me excited. So yeah, I'm not at all saying that he should start or anything like that, but I think there's a big place in this offense, especially when the guy running the offense is a guy who has used two quarterbacks before, especially when one of them is mobile, Jim.
Well, the thing that I've said, and I said it last year, was not just in the couple games that they lost, the Michigan and Ohio State game, there were a couple other games where the offense sputtered, and I would have liked to have seen Bo Prabula come in for a full series, not just this, we're in the red zone, it's third and short, that kind of situation, but say, all right, Bo, this possession is yours. And it's not, Drew is not being benched, it's just one series. Make the defense just have a different look, you know, and you prepare all game for all week for Drew Aller, who's a throw first kind of guy, you know, there's no doubt. Make them have to take a different look. You know, we got to play our defense differently because Bo Prabula is in there now for possession.
Yeah, I saw, and this is a play that Kansas ran, which I think would be really fun because Bo Prabula, I mean, he gets dirty. He'll put his shoulder down, a kind of a pitch option play where Drew would pitch it to Bo. He can either run and take off, and the line's blocking for the run. He can run and take off, or he's got, two different receivers running routes where then he can stop, pull up, and throw a little pop pass to someone over the top. So I think there's a lot of ways to use Bo. But, I mean, obviously you don't want to injure your backup quarterback. You got to be careful. You don't want him, toting the rock 8 times a game. I'm not saying that by any means. But let Bo Prabula be a little physical. It's like every time he gets hit hard, it's like he's that makes him like the Hulk. He grows more, gets stronger, gets faster. Like, he likes that. He enjoys that type of stuff. So use him, you know. Let him run that ball a little bit. And keep the defense on its toes. I just think it could create some really good scenarios for the offense where they're putting the defense at a place where it's like, okay, you know, what do we do here? They're putting them at a disadvantage.
And you know what, Landon? We don't need to protect these quarterbacks. Are they football players or not? Do we need to put a dress on them?
I would normally agree with you, Jim. I saw there was a Bears defensive lineman. He got thrown out of practice the other day because he hit Caleb Williams. So the coach tossed him. The quarterbacks, it's different, Jim. They get treated like the coach's son, where it's like, hey, you touch them, you're out of here, you're done.
Well, I'm just going to throw out, even with Drew Aller, the thought of, I just want him to be a threat to run, make the defense conscious of it. And I've said this over and over again, and I'm sorry, listeners, you're going to hear me over and over again in the future. I'm warning you, okay? If you're going to run that read option, where allegedly the option is quarterback either gives it to the running back or he keeps it, he's got to keep it once in a while. Just have the defense respect the idea that it could happen, Landon.
I know Jim's been talking about the read option for way, way too long. And we've seen it being practiced a lot. A lot of Drew Aller and all the quarterbacks doing read option and then even having a pitch after the read option. So it's kind of like that circle motion where someone becomes behind Drew Aller. He can either hand it off or pull it, and then he pulls it, and then he's got someone to then pitch it to also. You know, we've seen some of that from – I believe T. Frank, shout out to you. He gets a lot of footage for those practices. But Jim, real quick, do we have time to pivot? Yeah. I want to talk about a couple Penn State recruits. That's kind of went on here. Just the other day, we had Kevin Brown, offensive lineman, who is borderline 5-star. I think he's like low 30, might be like the 31st overall player in the nation, and some services might even be lower than that. Just committed the other day. He's from Harrisburg, so really local. Big time get for Philip Troutwine. I mean, he just continues to land these really good offensive linemen. And I'm excited. I mean, the kid is – he is built, too. Like, he's coming in how you want him. He is cut up. Looks like he's only about 280. You can put that weight on him. But I am really excited about him. He did really well at the Rivals 5-star camp going against other big-time 5-stars. So this is a big get for Philip Troutwine and company.
Could I give you a stat now?
What's that?
Here's Jim's stat. I've been complaining about the recruiting for the 2025 season. Okay, the current recruiting class, where they have over 20 recruits. Do you know how many consensus four-star recruits they have on that group? By consensus, every service ranks them as a four-star.
What?
Two of them? Whew. Two of them. Two. In the 2026 class, where they have a total of four guys, do you know how many consensus top 100 players they have?
I'm guessing more.
Three. They already have three in the 26 class. And by the way, I had T. Frank on earlier this week, and he mentioned how you had this wonderful statistic about how many top 100 players Penn State had versus how many that were at Ohio State. Now, where in the world did you hear that statistic from, Landon?
Jim, I will tell you, if you want to tune in, I gave you all the credit. I use a lot of Jim's stuff on when I go to my own channel. I'm talking about other things. I always give Jim credit, though. I mentioned his sunset time. I don't know if you saw, I tagged you in that.
I did.
The sunset for November 9th, the whiteout being set for 4:58 p.m. So I you know, Jim is responsible for a lot of my success, man. That's where I get many of my stats. So I'm sure he must have asked you, and you're like, that was my stat.
He brought it. He did not mention that you gave me any credit. Not that it's about me, Landon. Not that I'm, you know, an attention whore that needs credit. Well, yes, I am, and yes, I do need that. Yeah, a little bit. A little bit I do need that. But I'm glad you brought that up, because it is a great sign for that 2026 recruiting class, is it not?
No, it is. It's really good. And he's actually teammates with the other four-star.
Mickens.
Mickens. He also goes to they're, you know, both on the same offensive line. If you're playing Harrisburg, I would not want to be a defensive lineman at a public school in the state of Pennsylvania. I will say that. It doesn't sound like a good time at all. But then –
go ahead. I wanted to ask you about the kid who reset himself – for the 24 recruiting class.
You are, you know, we must just be in sync, man, because I was headed to start to talk about that. So we got Max Granville, and he is from Texas, from Sugar Land, Texas. If anybody remembers, that is the same place Parker Washington is from, Sugar Land. So, and this kid looks, I mean, he looks good, Jim. Let me just put it that way. He's cut up. He looks like he's 21 years old. And so he was a part of the 2025 class. Reclassified back into the 2024 class, pretty much just got on campus within the past couple weeks, and now kind of ready to go, which I think is really big time to, you know, probably won't play that much this season, especially with the amount of defensive ends we have with good depth. But what that does is next year, he is really ready to go when we're, I'd say, 95% chance we lose both the ends. I think we're probably going to lose Deny and Abdul. To the NFL draft. So getting Granville in early, he gets a year under his belt. Now he's coming into his fresh, you know, his redshirt freshman year next year, opposed to his freshman year. That's big time. And I think the reason why, and, you know, you could say that's big for any player, but they did this because they are confident this is a guy who is going to make a big impact early. Now, early doesn't normally mean freshman year, but hey, we get him in a year early. Now he's really ready to go. And now he might be that third guy next year.
Fantastic point there, Landon. All right, that is it for our show. Make sure you join us next week on Landon and Jim versus the World.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.